Okay, thank you very much. First, I wanted to thank Misha Lubitsch. I hope he's still coming for here. Okay, so can we strike this on the record? He's here. Thank you very much. And I'd like to thank you also in the name of my students, and I think everybody else, for the wonderful chance to be here and to be together. I was asked to speak about dynamics of transcendental functions on a new, not too technical level. So I will just try to give you some idea of what the relations are, how similar the dynamics can be of transcendental and rational functions, and how difficult and different they can be at the same time. I'm trying to start very easy. And in the end, I'm trying to discuss a question of Euler, trying to give you an answer that is perhaps more complicated than one could have imagined at the time when he asked this. So let me start with something very simple. A reminder, if you have holomorphic function, no dynamics yet, an open set U and C, and you have a puncture and you have a holomorphic function F, say, to the Riemann sphere, except you have an isolated singularity. Then you all know there's two possibilities. Either the map here is very tame, so you can extend it, it's a removable singularity. That's the simple case. It could be a pole, perhaps, but nothing difficult. Or it's the wild. It's an essential singularity. And all hell breaks loose. And what I'd like to do during this talk is to explore a little bit what it means for all hell to break loose in the dynamical setting. This is, we all know, the great Picard theorem, that the values that are assumed in every neighborhood around the singularity is the entire Riemann sphere with at most two exceptions. So you reach everything, it's pretty much mixing. And that has some great effects on dynamics. Before we going into detail, I would like to mention a few names. I will not try to be very precise during the talk to quote exactly who did what first and in which generality. I will freely be using results of many people, but I'd like to mention a few, starting with Yeremenko and Lubitsch. There's several fundamental papers by them, then Baker and Rippon. There's a number of fundamental papers by Devaney and various co-authors. Then there is certainly Phil Rippon and Stoddart. There's Walter Bergweiler. And then more recently, there's Rempe, Lucusia Karpinska. Some of my students, and presumably I've forgotten several other people I was planning to mention. What's interesting about transcendental dynamics is that it brings people from various fields together, like dynamical systems in general, perhaps. There are a number of people who are coming from value distribution theory who work on dynamics of general transcendental function, have big results on big classes of functions. And then there are some people who come from the dynamics of rational functions or even polynomials and try to see the similarities between rational and transcendental, say, entire functions. And this is a somewhat different approach to the field. I'm closer to the latter approach, and I will mostly focus on these results. So let's look at dynamics. We have a transcendental entire function, or we have an entire function f from the complex plane to the complex plane. So this has a removable singularity at infinity. And then the question is, what can this be? It has a singularity, an isolated singularity at infinity. If it's removable, then we certainly have a polynomial. And infinity is super attracting. And then you have extremely nice coordinates in a neighborhood of infinity, and you can work very easily. You get dynamic race. Misha is introducing this in his class, but mostly everybody knows it probably anyway. And if not, then we have an essential singularity here. The superattracting infinity is in the Fatou set, and in this case, infinity is in the Dulya set in all cases, and then things are much more complicated. For this case, Yeromenko has asked an almost classical question. I think it was in 88 or 89. He asked, what are the points which iterate to infinity? What's the structure of such points? For polynomials, we know it's a neighborhood of infinity. And then in good cases, the set of points is simply a Riemann disk, at least if no critical value escapes to infinity. So that's easy. And here, since it's in the Dulya set, certainly it cannot be a neighborhood of infinity. So he asked whether this could still be if this path connected with infinity. If this was the case, then you could have, again, dynamic race. I'm going to talk about this in a moment. So there was this question, what he asked more precisely is every connected component of this set I of F, the set of escaping points, is every component unbounded, or is even every path component unbounded, and can you connect any point out to infinity through the set of escaping points? So this is a global variant for entire functions. But I'd like to share with you a slightly different point of view, even though we can't answer it completely. You can try to make this into a local question. If we look again at this setting here, we just have an isolated singularities and try to look at the dynamics in a neighborhood. This is a holomorphic function defined on a punctured open set. This is a subset of C, say, and this goes into the complex plane. And then you can try to iterate, see which functions. We can ask K of F, the filled Dulya set, if you wish, the set of all points here which you can iterate forever. You can try to look at this as kind of a local fixed point question. Well, the images, if we call this P, essential singularity, let's define, so the image at P could be anything, obviously. Let's define F of P to be equal to P, just as bad as any other choice. Then you have a fixed point, and you ask, what is the local structure near this fixed point? What's the local structure of all the points which you can iterate here forever? And then once we're reminded of asking the question, like for Kremer points, there is a hedgehog theory by Perez-Marco. Is there a similar structure for transcendental fixed points, as you could perhaps ask it? And you could rephrase the question of Yeromenko. Maybe the local... Say again? Because I defined F of P... Okay, this choice is no better or worse than any other choice. But you can ask forget the fixed point story, but you can investigate it in similar terms. I don't claim it makes sense to call it a fixed point, but you can ask this question. You can vary the neighborhood and keep asking the question. This is more a moral statement and not a precise theorem. And what I want to happen would be that then you get a hedgehog here, all the points which are converging to this fixed point are contained in the filled Dulya set. And you could ask a similar question like this one here. You could ask whether the set of points which stay there even converge to the point P was path connected with the point P. It's just a question. I don't have a theorem. And in fact, this conjecture is false. And here, any analogous conjecture would be even more false. But the question is, what is the underlying structure? What can you say? or in which special cases, and there are some special cases in which this is true, in which you can say something here. So it's more meant to be as a motivating question, not as a precise statement that one can prove. So that's a different way of thinking about the essential singularity here and the dynamics nearby. And in certain cases, we can prove that we get a structure like this. But rather than going in all this generality, I was asked to give a more introductory talk, starting about exponential functions, starting about the simplest functions that one can have, and see what the dynamics looks like in these cases. So we go to the simplest model cases. For polynomials, it's certainly quadratic polynomials. Z maps to z squared plus c. And then somewhere over here, this is the simplest non-trivial polynomial. The simplest non-trivial transcendental functions are exponential functions, both with some parameter. It's one complex number worth of parameters. We could modify these a little bit, go to higher degrees. This is quadratic. We can make it unicritical, z to the d plus c, which in many ways should be very similar to the quadratic family. In many ways it is. In some ways this is much harder, which I'm not going to go into. But let's rewrite these things in an equivalent form, 1 plus z divided by d to the d's. This is essentially the same map in different coordinate systems. And then it's very natural to look at what happens if the degree tends to infinity. Just because the maps and compact sets converge from here to here, that does not mean that the dynamics converges as well. And one could look at more general transcendental entire functions. Sometimes I'm going to make a remark about whether things go through more generally. Sometimes I will not. You could also ask more general questions about polynomials which have more than one critical point. All this I'll just mostly pass by. So what is the simplest rational map to iterate? That's the parameter c equal to 0. It's a super attractive fixed point. And the Julia set is a circle. Everything outside of the unit disk goes to infinity. Everything inside converges to the superattracting fixed point at the origin. So the escaping set of this map is the complement of the closed unit disk. And we have dynamic rays here. Let me draw them in green because they're transverse to the green function. So these are the rays which, just from the dynamical set, you get dynamic rays for free. And the red angle theta maps to the red angle 2 theta. So it's a very simple coordinate system in the basin of infinity. And the same is true here in the unicritical case. Well, the first trouble starts, there is no superattracting value. The thing here at for the exponential function, the critical point is 0, the critical value equals c. Here the same. Here the critical point is at minus d, and the critical value is at 0. And you see, as the degree goes to infinity, the critical point simply vanishes. But the critical value has a limit. This is the singular value, 0. Plays an analogous role. These are the critical value, singular value, or asymptotic value. These are the points in which the various branches of the maps are not locally invertible. Trouble is, the singular value can never be periodic because it's an omitted value. So that is already one difference, but we can perturb this slightly to make it attracting. And as far as the basin of infinity is concerned, or the topology of the Dyer set, nothing changes. This is quite different here. So let's say we have an attracting fixed point, and then this set where this happens is a cardioid between 1 over E and negative E in the complex plane. You can parameterize this exactly. So let's see what the Dyer set looks like. There's an attracting fixed point somewhere, and it attracts the orbit of the singular value 0. So here 0 is attracted, so there's a whole neighborhood of 0, which goes to the attracting fixed point. We call it this A, perhaps. Of course, the basin of this attracting fixed point is invariant, so the pre-image under the exponential of this open set here is also in the domain of attraction, and that is a left half plane. All this here converges to the fixed point, and there's a forward invariant set all going here. What are the pre-images of a left half plane? So these are all the points which from the origin have an angle theta, which is between pi over 2 and 3 pi over 2. So in the image you have an angle condition, 50% of the angles map in the left half plane. So on the domain before angles, imaginary parts become angles. There are strips like this. Which map into the left half plane. So everything which I've shaded here eventually converges to the attracting fixed point. Now, every half strip like this has an image which maps the right half plane. So, in particular, we'll cover all those countably many strips, and we get strips like this, open strips, all of these everywhere go to these fixed strips. And then we can keep taking pre-images between every pair of strips. Here, there's countably many further strips like this. And things become a bit thin. Okay, but it's pretty clear that we can make a few statements about the Dyer set for lambda e to the z with an attracting fixed point. Then the Dyer set consists of uncountably many curves. Which are homeomorphic to the non-negative reals. So if I just have the first step, it's the complement is contained in the right half plane. And the next step is contained in such a strip. And the next pre-image step is contained in such a strip. And then a pre-image component next time around is perhaps in such a strip. And if you keep iterating it and make it a bit more precise, then the Dyer set, really every component of the Dyer set is such a curve here. And then the countable intersection, well, you have to show something, but the dynamics is expanding enough to show that really every component like this is a curve. The Dyer set is uncountably many curves, all homeomorphic to the positive reals. Now the part which is the open part without the endpoint, I call a ray, dynamic ray. It also goes by the name of hair, but I'm trying to stress the analogy to polynomials. And it's the same word here as for polynomials. And then the endpoint, it's the endpoint of the ray. And in both cases, we have the nice situation that every dynamic ray lands at some point in the Dyer set. The difference is, here the rays are in the Fatou set, here the rays are in the Dyer set. But they always land in this particular case. With one difference, this endpoint here, so it's the point out here, the endpoint may escape. So you have the funny situation, which is unknown for polynomials. You have a dynamic ray, which lands, and the landing point of the ray is an escaping point. Cannot have this here. It may escape, it may have a bounded orbit, which is what we're used to, or it may have an unbounded orbit. The orbit may be unbounded without escaping to infinity, because, as we see, at infinity we don't have an attracting basin which attracts the neighborhood. Remember, we have an essential singularity near infinity. Yes, yes. And you can give a precise classification. If I skip ahead, you can... Let me say something I wasn't planning to say. You can give symbolic dynamics to each of the curves. Let me call this strip 0, 1, 2, negative 1, and so on in a very natural way. And then every ray is uniquely described by the itinerary, that's the sequence of half-strips which the sector visits. Different rays have different sequences which are called itineraries. And you can give a precise classification which itineraries occur. That's an exercise in combinatorics. Which itineraries occur, and among those which occur, which rays land at escaping points, which rays land at points with unbounded orbits, which ones land unbounded endpoints. All this occurs, and all these combinatorial answers are independent. They depend on the exponential map, perhaps, but not which parameter lambda within the exponential family you're choosing. So this is a pretty robust statement. Also, beyond exponentials, it's far more robust. All cases do occur. That's a pretty subtle distinction from the combinatorics to see which rate lands at an escaping endpoint. This is, if anybody's interested, I can tell you the precise answer in the end, but I wasn't planning to do this now. Okay, so this is a pretty reasonable situation. You cannot expect anything simpler than this for transcendental dynamics. And let me state two results here, which show that even in this case, it is perhaps sometimes counterintuitive. One is the story of explosion sets. The endpoints here are simply a circle, topologically, geometrically, whatever. This is a very simple set. Let me call E the set of endpoints of rays. And the easy and not so surprising result is that E union infinity is connected in the Riemann sphere. So there's an analogy here. But if you say, okay, we have transcendental dynamics, let's take out infinity, then the set E does not contain the point infinity. So you have a connected continuum. No, it's not compact. You have a connected set. You move one point, and it becomes totally disconnected. That's what's called an explosion set. Connected big set, take away one point, and it's totally disconnected. It's not only disconnected, every connected component is a point. This is a phenomenon which I believe should be true far more generally than just for exponentials with attracting fixed points. But it really uses, the only proof which I know uses the Riemann mapping, the Fatou set, which is a conformal disk, Riemann disk, and prime end theory on this Riemann domain here. So I don't know of any result which would go through more generally here, even though I believe it should be true. The fact that E itself is totally disconnected is actually easy to see. Why is that so? For every ray, we just take one point, this endpoint here. Now let's take a different ray with a different endpoint. If they're in different strips, then obviously the two endpoints cannot be in the same connected component. If they're, because they're separated by this thick bar here, if they're in the same component, then you map both arrays one iteration further, and they're somewhere in another strip, might again be in the same strip or in a different strip. If the images are in a different strip, then again they're in different connected components. And I already said earlier that the arrays are classified by the itineraries here. So if you have different arrays, then eventually they must land in different components. And so the two endpoints are in different connected components. So the total disconnectedness is not too hard. Connectivity of the whole set is a bit, needs a bit more work. But it's one more example of the many examples that many surprising counterintuitive concepts that topologists or geometers have thought of artificially arrive very naturally in dynamics, especially conformal dynamics, and much more especially in transcendental dynamics. Here's another such result about Hausdorff dimension. The dimension of the rays obviously is 2. It's the complement of the closed disk, it's the open set. And the dimension of the endpoints is 1, it's the circle. Nothing much surprising about this statement. Here, in this setting, the dimension of the rays no longer fill up an open set, they're just uncountably many curves. It may not be too surprising that the dimension of the rays is only 1. Most easy to see that the Julia set is measure 0. So Julia set is much bigger than here, the rays are in the Julia set. What may be more surprising is that the endpoints now have dimension 2. So this is something which you may have to digest for a moment. You have a whole bunch of curves, uncountably many, and altogether the union of these curves has dimension 1. Big set of curves still can have dimension 1. And then for every curve, you can have one endpoint only, the endpoint of the curve, and those endpoints alone are enough to give you dimension 2. And so there's dimension 2 for the rays, 1 for the endpoints, and here it's just the other way around. If you find this surprising, then this is what I'm saying. Yes, okay. The set I is, of course, the union of both, and that has dimension 2 because of the endpoints. It can do much worse. If you go from exponentials to, let me make a little detour, we have lambda e to the z, lambda sine z, lambda equals pi, if I recall this correctly, then in principle you have the same situation. There's an exponential on the right. Maybe for your intuition, it's the same map sine and sine hyperbolic. There's a right exponential on the right. This is the exponential map. And e to the negative z vanishes on the right. And on the left, you have the same thing upside down. So for this map, everything I was saying is still true. All the things, the dimension of the rays equals 1. And now the endpoints are the complex plane minus the rays. So that's a bit funnier. You have a one-dimensional set of curves which come in all over the place. Just a one-dimensional set. So the complement of this one-dimensional set, of course, is full measure. One-dimensional set has measure 0. The complement is full measure. It's the complement of a one-dimensional set in the plane. What can I say? And yet, every point in E is the landing point of one or several rays from this one-dimensional collection. Every point has its own ray, or sometimes several rays, which connect this point out to infinity. All the rays are disjoint from each other and from the endpoints. So this may be a bit surprising. I found it surprising. And for all I know, the first time that this was discovered was as an abstract set altogether, not just in dynamics. The first time this came up was in dynamics, and it was the dynamics of the sine or hyperbolic sine function. Okay, so this is a detour. This came up out of an attempt to understand transcendental functions a bit better beyond hyperbolic exponential functions. Just give some examples where the dynamics is slightly more interesting. Here, the critical, you have no asymptotic values, you have two critical values, and they're both strictly preperiodic. So this is essentially the simplest kind of dynamics you could imagine. And this is the first time I think that the whole plane behaves very nicely for transcendental function. Julia said it's the entire complex plane. You would want to understand everything in terms of symbolic dynamics. Yes, you can, but you're paying a price. This is somewhat surprising, I think. Okay, so this is I had meant to make a statement here about more general functions. Just recently I heard a talk announcing that this result for attracting exponentials works in a setting of more general transcendental functions if all the asymptotic, all the singular values, there's finally many of those, they're all in the domain of attraction of a single attracting fixed point, then a very analogous result here about the topology should go through. So in the attracting case, the topology is what it is. It has similarities. You have the rays. And think of all the beautiful things you can do with rays for polynomials. Let's start with your Coase theory, or Doherty, Hubbard, your Coase, everybody. So rays for polynomials have played an enormously important role. Here you have them for attracting fixed points, but you don't get them for free. And here you get them only because you have them. You have an attracting fixed point. You no longer have fatuus at near infinity, so you're working with the fatuus at around the fixed point. So this works only for very special complex parameters, lambda. Let's look at the next interesting case of parameters lambda. Again, left is polynomials, right is transcendental functions. Preperiodic. They're often called after Mizurewicz, which is probably not a good name because Mizurewicz was working on different maps, but for some reason this is pretty established. So if the critical value is preperiodic, the Julia set is a dendrite, like this, and you again have the Riemann map, complement of the unit disk, maps to the complement of the Julia set, dynamical conjugation, dynamic rays here, or radial lines here become dynamic rays here. So the basin of infinity is easy to understand again. And the Julia set is the continuous image of the boundary of the disk. So you have to check that the conjugating Riemann map extends continuously to the boundary of the unit circle, of the unit disk. It does, which is equivalent to the Julia set being locally connected. So the Julia set is the image of a circle. It's connected. And again, we know that all rays land. Every ray here has an image point. The ray lands somewhere in the Julia set. And again, you can describe the Julia set with all kinds of models. There is the pinch disk model. I do it in Hubbard. There is the Thurston lamination, which is very much the same thing. Your Coase puzzles, everything works because you have rays and they land continuously. So what can we say here? The Julia set is the entire complex plane. if the singular values are strictly periodic. And now we are lost for the first time. Everything we've done so far, everything, uses the structure of the Fatou set. There was always the simply connected Fatou component. We could always transport the dynamics or pull it back or somewhere. And now we are out of luck. The distinction between Fatou set and Julia set is still true, only it doesn't subdivide the complex plane. And without reasonable subdivision, there's nothing you can do. Yes. I was skipping ahead. This is an example which should really come after this one. I was skipping ahead because of, absolutely true, yes. If you want to understand a dynamical system, you need to find invariant subsets which subdivide your phase space. Fatou and Julia sets are very reasonable, especially for polynomials. And here, they don't work. So an equally useful subdivision, even though it's harder to get, is still the escaping set. The set of all points which converge to infinity. According to a general result of Yeromenko, I'm not sure whether you were involved, shows that this is never empty. And it's a proper subset of the complex plane. It's never empty, it's never everything. So here you have a dynamical invariant subdivision. And you can construct rays, and some people have done it. Fatou has observed there are certain curves of escaping points in the Julia set, curves of points which escape to infinity. So I have, for certain maps, there are such curves. And even Fatou asked whether this could be true more generally. It is. Yeromenko asked this conjecture here, and then he tried to do something with it because obviously dynamic rays are useful. Devaney and a number of co-authors have constructed rays for exponential functions and some more general functions, but in a sense that this was a countable collection of rays contained in the escaping set. And this is already a useful step, no question. But the escaping set, these are essentially the periodic or the bounded ones, those which always land at points with bounded orbits, and they're always sort of exploring bounded combinatorics. In order to classify the escaping set, the question is I the union of rays? This needs rays beyond those of bounded combinatorics. This is more work, and I'm not trying to go into this in too much detail. I just would like to show you one example of what else can go wrong, even though there's a published paper claiming it would never happen. Here, in the simplest preparatory case, every ray lands somewhere. I'm trying to convince you that, even for the exponential family, rays may not land but accumulate on an inseparable continuum. Rays may accumulate at non-separable continuum. Already the very concept of a non-separable continuum is perhaps surprising. It's a continuum, compact connected set, which cannot be written as the union, not necessarily disjoint, just the union of two subcontinua. So this interval is a continuum, which you can indicate. Is it the same thing? I think, okay. You're right. Thank you. It's indecomposable. So the interval is the union of two subintervals. They may well overlap. So this is certainly decomposable. And to find continua which are indecomposable is not obvious, at least. So as soon as you have the singular value zero maps to maps to lambda, and suppose this maps to a fixed point. Then you can relatively easily construct a ray which lands as an indecomposable continuum. Let me try to briefly sketch this. This fixed point is repelling, so we can take some ray, keep pulling it back until it's very close to the repelling fixed point. Like this, perhaps, not too close yet. Then we take a pre-image, lambda maps to here, so the pre-image of the ray maps very near the singular value. Another pre-image maps very close to the omitted value, 0. And the pre-image of this goes all the way out to almost negative infinity. Okay, the pre-image of this guy has big absolute values, small absolute values, and then again relatively big absolute values. So the pre-image of that guy is a ray which looks something like this. Folds over. And then if you keep taking pre-images, then you can get something like this. It's the same thing but with a folded ray. Let's make it a bit longer here. The pre-image is folded over like that. Pre-image is folded over like that. And the next pre-image is something like this. And if you do this right, you can continue this. So the pre-image of this long thing is then something which goes in, folds over, comes back out. And then you can keep folding it like this, play the game. And if you do it right, then you can fold it and fold it and fold it. And this is how people in continuum theory actually construct indecomposable continua, or one example. So the lakes of water involve open sets, disjoint open sets. And I don't know, the GDSS is everything, what invariant disjoint open sets should be here. Lakes of water,
yeah.
Open sets with identical boundaries. I'd like to talk about it. Maybe one can. I've never seen this. I know there's a paper by Hubbard who constructs for the force pendulum lakes of water in a natural way with infinitely many disjoint bases. Okay, so even the simplest non-trivial case here really produced something very different from what we might have expected. And another example, if you don't look at the exponential, but at the sine function, you see it's even the different surprising coming, even though in this case, every ray lands. That's why I was looking at it. What was the good news? So if we look a little more generally, for arbitrary polynomials, say with connected to ESS, that's not really a restriction. You always have the rays here. Other questions? Okay. So for arbitrary polynomials, you get the rays for free, get a useful construction. For arbitrary entire functions, let me give you the theorem, which is actually a PhD thesis of Rottenfusser last year, and some of this is joint work with Johannes Rückert, with so many Johanneses here, Lasse Rempe and myself. In general, the Yeramenko conjecture is false. So not always is the set of escaping points path connected with infinity. There are counterexamples which one can more or less even construct. One could phrase a weaker conjecture that the escaping set was not path connected to infinity, it is connected to infinity. For those cases, it is open for all I know. There's work by Repin and Stallard in the positive direction. So in general it's false, but it's true if f has finite type and bounded type and finite order. I'm not going to go into too much detail here. The first condition simply says that all the critical values, all asymptotic values, are contained in a bounded subset of the complex plane. And the second condition says it doesn't grow much faster near infinity than e to the polynomial of some degree. And it is not very often that this condition on finite order was used in dynamics. It seems pretty useless, because even for the simplest function exponential, every transcendental function of finite order, as soon as you iterate it twice, f of x, it has infinite order. So finite order is not a dynamically invariant condition. It's not clear whether it should have any meaning in dynamics at all. And this is perhaps the first case when, in fact, the condition on finite order does play a role. Okay. So this is for more general entire functions than just exponentials. I would like to make a few words. Any questions so far? And I have two things that I want to say in the end. One is I want to make a few remarks on parameter space, and I would like to conclude by coming back to the question of Euler that I mentioned initially. We all know the Mandelbrot set for quadratic polynomials. And so on. So this is the connectedness locus for degree 2, z squared plus c. Now let's look over for unicritical polynomials of higher degree. If you have z to the d plus c, you get a set which has d minus one-fold rotational symmetry. And if you go over to this family, the symmetry is divided out. You get a non-symmetric set. And the typical set looks like this. No, sorry, it is not. The symmetry was gone, I just said. So this is the set with attracting fixed points. We get a similar set. So this is period 1, this is period 2. You have period 3 here, like for the Mandelbrot set. This degree 4, and so on. This another degree 5. There's bifurcations here at degree 4. So the sets look very much like the Mandelbrot set, but they're growing slowly but steadily ever bigger. So this is d greater than 2 lambda 1 plus z over d divided to the d. And finally, if you have an exponential function, your parameter space looks like this. Fixed points are here. Period 2 is almost a half plane. And then every hyperbolic component is unbounded to either the left or the right. The bifurcation from 2 to 4 occurs many places, and it is primitive. So the airplane, which is here, has many airplanes out there. Some of them are floating around like this. So you get a very complicated parameter space structure. But interestingly enough, they're closely related to each other. And there's always some number of injections, inclusions, combinatorial inclusions from every degree to every next degree. If you want to know more about this, ask Alex right here, Alex Kappel. And then they all, of course, have limits out to infinity. So these are the open sets where you have attracting orbits, where the map is dynamics is hyperbolic. And many of the methods here work. And again, it's conjectured that hyperbolic dynamics is dense in exponential parameter space, but it's not quite so clear. Well, in this respect, there's a great similarity between quadratic and exponential dynamics. In all cases, we don't really know how to prove this. Let me mention one result that is particularly close to me, that if we look at a hyperbolic component for polynomials, unicritical polynomials, there's a conformal isomorphism from the component and its boundary to the unit disk with its boundary. The multiplier map sends the component to the unit disk, which it extends as a homeomorphism to the closures. This is true for all hyperbolic components in all degrees. Classical result of Dewitt and Hubbard. Now, if we have a hyperbolic component here, we could try to do the same thing. Let's map this to a left half plane and the boundary of the left half plane. This is again, the multiplier map is again a conformal isomorphism. But this is far less obvious. The conformal isomorphism from the component to the left half plane is not very hard to show in both cases, and the methods are very similar. And a continuous extension from here to here is also not very hard to get. The problem that you could have is that suddenly there is a little, there's a main end, there could be one or several additional ends out to infinity. After all the Fatou components stretch out to infinity in uncountable many directions in the dynamical plane. So why not having something similar also in parameter space? Doesn't happen, but that's a surprisingly deep result. At least, it's one of my results, but this comes at the end of 200 pages or so of systematic study of this parameter space. This is already a beginning of indications why things are much harder here in the exponential case. It's not even quite clear what we are drawing here. Hyperbolic components live on both sides. Here the Mandelbrot set is the closure of the union of all hyperbolic components. What is the Mandelbrot set if you want to abuse the name Mandelbrot set? What should that be here? If you take the closure of the union of all hyperbolic components, then provided hyperbolicity was dense, you would get everything. True, it's like the Julia says everything. But people talk about the Mandelbrot set. What is the Mandelbrot set for exponential functions? Well, I don't want to use the word. The interesting set in both cases is the bifurcation locus, the boundary of the Mandelbrot set, and then here's the set of all parameters which have no neighborhoods in which the dynamics is stable under local perturbations. So the study of this diagram is far more complicated than for the Mandelbrot set. And by the way, nothing on exponential dynamics is ever locally connected. For those of you who believe that local connectivity is the right word for polynomial dynamics, it certainly is not the right concept for exponential functions or for transcendental dynamics. Nothing is ever, you see these curves here, you cannot expect local connectivity here. You can try to formulate it differently and then say, the way I would do it, I like to use the concept of fibers, and then you could say that every fiber in the Mandelbrot set, in the exponential bifurcation diagram, contains a single point which is not on the parameter array. I have not worked them out, but I think I know what they should like if one worked them out. You can make all the methods of puzzles that many of us are working on, all these methods you can try to carry over. It's not always easy how to get annuli here. Things tend to be unbounded, but the notion at least works, but replace local connectivity by a word of triviality of fibers or something. One can make sense of it. It just needs an active student who wants to work on a project in this direction. May I say? In principle, yes. But you see, the problem is you want to map annuli to annuli, and many of the annuli are degenerate. So the first setting of puzzles in terms of fibers, how I would phrase it, that you can do. But technically, the things become very, very dissimilar at an early stage. You know, all the critical pieces. There's never a critical, a non-degenerate critical annulus. So life is a bit more unpleasant there. Okay, let me conclude by... What do you mean for any? The same thing, what is... For any? You want a one-dimensional parameter space. And the space of quadratic polynomials happens to be one-dimensional. The space of cubic polynomials is two-dimensional. It's already an enormously complicated space. You can go to unicritical maps, then you have one degree of freedom for every degree. But for exponentials, you can look at what are natural one-dimensional transcendental parameter spaces. Like for the, okay, we have, that I should perhaps mention. For rational maps, we have universality as developed by Doherty, Hubbard, McMahon, and some others. So that locally, if you have a one-dimensional family of rational maps, then in every neighborhood of every bifurcation point, you get a little Mandelbrot set or multibrot set here. So therefore, whatever you say for the Mandelbrot set holds true in far more generality. Unfortunately, there is no good notion of renormalizability for exponentials. Not even when you go to bifurcation of period 3, perhaps, do you even have topological renormalization. Because there's always some discontinuities involved. So, no. Yes, yes. And I don't even know how to ask the question more generally. So, let me conclude by a question of Euler. He asked, he looked at the limits a to the a to the a to the a to the a, iterated exponentiation. And he asked for which values of a does this have a limit? He was only thinking about real values of a, and even negative a's don't really make much sense, and then he gave an answer. But let's try to do this in a complex. So this is something like a naught equals a and a n plus, or z naught and z n plus 1 equals a to the z n. Which, I mean, what is exponential power is? It's e to the lambda times zn if lambda is a branch of a. So in the complex setting, this question makes only sense once you choose a branch of log a in order to exponentiate. And then you see, really, you're iterating the exponential family. And if you do this right, equivalent question for which values, and now I have complex non-zero numbers, does z maps to lambda e to the z have a limit when started starting the dynamics with zero, the singular value? So this question really refers to exponential parameter space, if you complexify all this question. And now you can look at which limits exist in different ways. First, you can ask whether it converges, the orbit of zero converges to an attracting fixed point. then this is true if and only if you're in this main cardioid. This is an attracting fixed point. If lambda is mu e to the negative mu, where mu is absolute value 1, this is the Riemann map from the unit disk to this cardioid here. So this is the most natural answer. But we know if there's a parabolic fixed point, that means mu to the n equals 1 for some integer n, we still have the singular value 0 converging to the fixed point. So for countably many further boundary points here on the cardioid, this is still true. The next question is, the singular orbit could jump onto a repelling fixed point. It could jump right if it converges non-trivially, which means with a not eventually constant orbit, to a fixed point is one of these. But it could, after some while, jump exactly onto a fixed point. Then the fixed point is not necessarily repelling. And now you're asking the questions, for which members of the exponential family does the singular orbit terminate at a fixed point? And that brings us into a very different set of questions. Classify all post-singularly finite dynamical exponential functions. It's really a question of Euler. We need to classify post-singularly finite exponentials. And that is not exactly trivial. For rational functions, you know, Thurston has this characterization theorem of rational functions, and that simply doesn't work for transcendental functions. It's a project, we've done it, Mitsu, Hubbard, and I have done this for exponential functions, and we're trying to work this out more generally. This is a big project. You need Thurston theory, or spiders in this case, to give this special case to the answer of Euler's question. But that's not the full answer. This classifies all the limits which are complex numbers. So the last thing is the limit infinity. If you extend the question, for which values of lambda do you eventually converge to infinity? And then you're asking the question here, for quadratic polynomials, you would be outside of the Mandelbrot set. And here you're asking the question, for which values does your singular value eventually converge over to infinity? Again, we're asking the question about parameter arrays. And here we have the Riemann map, complement of the unit disk, out to the complement of the Mandelbrot set. That's classical and well known. And again, we have nothing similar that could happen for the exponential family. So classify this at I, this is a set of parameters lambda in C star, so that 0 converges to infinity under iteration of lambda x. As n tends to infinity. Another result in parameter space is very similar to the result in the dynamics. This is the last theorem I want to state. Look, for the Mandelbrot set, the complement, the escaping set, escaping parameters I, is the complement of the unit disk in conformal coordinates. So the complement, this thing, C minus the closed unit disk, is a classification of escaping parameters, of escaping points for quadratic polynomials, except if the critical value escapes. And then there's some slight exceptions. So the same model space classifies exactly those parameters for which you have exceptions, which is the complement of the Mandelbrot set. So this is the relation between dynamics and parameter. You plow in dynamics, you harvest in parameter space. It's the same model space. Here you have a similar but not quite the same thing. Let me define this set X. I think there's one more panel behind. So there's a model space X, which you think of as uncountably many curves in the plane in a very precisely arranged way. And then there's for every parameter lambda, with exceptions if zero does not escape, then there's a map phi from X to the escaping set. This is a continuous bijection. Not a homeomorphism. It cannot be a homeomorphism in general. But you have one model space like this which describes the escaping set for all your exponential functions, for which the singular orbit does not escape. So phi lambda. And then there is, for the same model space, a continuous bijection to the space of I. This is a space of parameters, this space here. Euler's question with limit infinity is again parameterized by the same set. So formally the answer is very similar as for the Mandelbrot set, with two exceptions. One is the model space X is far more complicated than just the complement of the closed unit disk. And the second exception is that you do not get a homeomorphism, you just get a continuous bijection. And that's related to the fact that for different exponential maps, the escaping sets are not homeomorphic to each other. So you can never expect a uniform model space for all exponential mappings. So, I try to give you some idea of what transcendental dynamics can do, how it's similar to polynomials, especially with the rays, what surprises you can have, and I ended rather back in history with a question by Euler, even though at least these two papers are still being published, so all the new is coming in at the same time. I hope I've shown you some interesting features of transcendental dynamics, and I thank you for your attention.